Well, thank you, Brother David, and God bless you. Hello, saints. Good to be back with you. Kind of a cold day today and awful humid, overcast. Well, let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this great opportunity of your what we call your salvation, Lord. We thank you, Father, for offering it to us and let it be out there to where everybody can grab a hold of it that wants it. And we know that you grant repentance. We ask you, Lord, that you clarify some things for us out of your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to anoint us today to get this message across. And we thank you for it, Lord. Praise you, Father, for all the work that you're going to be doing out there. Let this word be a blessing to everybody. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, that's what I want to talk about is salvation, our salvation. You know, the Lord has told us that we're not any good to anybody if we don't lay down our life. Because we understand that this old carnal man has to die. And as that outer man, that carnal man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Because the more you die, the more you're going to live. It's that simple. So if you love the people around you, if you love your children, your wife, your husband, then you'll die. If you don't, you will live and you're selfish. Because you want the old man to live. And if he lives, you die. Jude says in chapter 1 and verse 12, twice dead plucked up by the roots. So you have to be twice born to be twice dead. If you have a twice born spirit, you can still die. Yeah, you can still die because you have a soul that needs to be born again. Your fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold, is born in your soul. You already have fruit in your spirit, that because it's a brand new spirit. 30, 60, and 100-fold has to be born of the mind, the will, and the emotions in your soul, you understand? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 says, but whoso hath the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and shuts up his compassion from him, how doth the love of God abide in him? If you don't have the love of God, remember this, you're not born of him. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue. There's a lot of folks that do that. They go ahead and they tell you, I love you. Then they turn right around and stab you in the back. They're fakes and phonies. They know what it takes to be acceptable. They know the lingo too. They just don't have the walk. And lots of times, you already know that they're fake, but you give them the benefit of the doubt. You hope in God for them and you pray for them. But ultimately, if there's a problem, those claws are going to come out. But in deed and truth, it says, 19, hereby shall we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before him. Well, amen. Now let's go over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. Do you really believe that the real Jesus is the Christ? Well, you don't even see him unless you're born from above. And you can't see the kingdom of God if you don't. And whosoever loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. So that part of you that's born again, if you love your brother, if you love him as much as you love yourself, right? That means you love your brother. If you love him as much as you love yourself, if you want the grace and the blood covering, but don't want him to have it, but want to reveal his sins and be angry with him because of his sin, if you want to judge him, but don't judge yourself, you're a hypocrite. Verse 2, hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandment. If you don't do God's commandments, you don't love God. That's according to Jesus. And you don't love his children because you're leading them astray. You're leavening, that's leavening the whole lump. You yourself are leaven, and what you're doing, you're leavening the whole fellowship. You have to be kicked out because of your leaven. And I'm going to tell you something, God does that regularly. He turns people over to the devil for the destruction of their flesh so that their spirits might be saved in the day of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 5:5. That is, if they don't grow and are just leaven, he just turns them over to the devil. And they go berserk, they get stupid, and they're gone. And by the way, they'll crucify you too if you're close. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is begotten of God overcomes the world. He didn't say whosoever, he said whatsoever is born of God. In other words, whatsoever part of you is born of God overcomes the world. And it goes on and says, and this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. So, we see again here, a person who walks in faith will be born of God. And whatsoever part of him walks in faith will be born of God. Whatever part of him that loves his brother will be born of God. And if he doesn't, he ain't going to bear no fruit. He'll stop growing right there, and he won't bear a bit of fruit. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. We know that whosoever is begotten of God sins not. But he that was begotten of God keeps himself, and the evil one touches him not. Well, you might argue about who that is. Is Christ in you? Because he is born of God, he keeps himself, and Christ in you is able to keep himself in you. We know that whosoever is begotten of God sins not, but he that was begotten of God. Folks, that's your spiritual man. He was begotten of God, and he is in the image of Jesus, and of course, Jesus was begotten of God. People argue whether this is Jesus or whether it's you. But you better hope it's both of you. Keeps himself, and the evil one touches him not. You don't have to sin. God gave you power over sin. Verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one. The whole world lieth in the evil one. And also quite a few people that are called Christians. Telling you. You can't imagine how many Christians are going to take the mark of the beast. You can't imagine. They're even preaching for it. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:21. Who through him are believers in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls. Now, that's a born-again soul that he's talking about. We're going to learn that here. In your obedience to the truth. Well, what's the truth? It's the Word of God. It's the washing of the water with the Word. Every time that you get faced with a decision to obey your flesh or to obey your spiritual man, you can grow in your spiritual man or you can grow in your flesh, depending on which one you want to take. It's who you obey. If you continue to obey the carnal man, you're going to die and you're not going to grow. He says that you purify your soul in your obedience to the truth. Now remember, in order to have the power to obey the truth, you must believe the gospel or the good news that you don't live anymore. That sin doesn't have any more power over you, and that the Lord has given you his life. You have to believe the gospel. So you got to look in the mirror and see Jesus, as it says, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That means unfaked, unphony love. Everyone in the church says they love you, don't they? But you got to ask, do they? If they walk in sin, they don't love you. If they judge you instead of put faith in your heart to overcome, they don't love you. If they criticize you and cast you down and cast away your faith, they don't love you. If you yourself are in willful disobedience, and that you claim that you're under the blood, and they don't tell you, they don't love you. It says, love one another from the heart fervently, having been born again or begotten again. That's it again, born again. That love, that purification of your soul, that born again soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, what he's talking about. That born again soul is what you have to manifest sonship. Now, I know there's this false doctrine out there about manifestation of the sons of God. All we're doing now is just giving you some truth here. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If God says it, we have to believe it, don't we? The Bible talks about the manifestation of the sons of God, and it's a good thing. Do you want to be like Jesus? And that's the manifestation of the sons of God right there. And it's going to happen in these days ahead of us. We're seeing it. You're going to see Jesus walking around here in the Epiphany, the shining forth from his sons, doing the same thing that Jesus did, living the same life, loving people just like Jesus did, walking in righteousness, which is shining forth from them in the glory of God. I'm telling you, praise God forevermore. I'll be glad when all of that happened. And it says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God. Then this is the incorruptible seed, right? This seed, which is the word of God, when it goes into you, can only create one thing. Each seed brings forth after its own kind. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit, it says in John chapter 3 and verse 6. This seed of the word of God can only create in you God. That's all. God's seed does not bring forth man, I'm telling you. God's seed brings forth God. That's the God in you. And you want him to take over. And that's what the sons of God are, because they're born of God. Sons of God, where do they come from? Well, they're born of God, born out of heaven, born of the seed. And it's an incorruptible seed, because it can bring forth nothing but God. Anything that's of God can only bring forth God. It can only bring forth love, it can only bring forth righteousness, and it can only bring forth deliverance from sin. And if it's born of God, that's all it can do. It can't make man come from man, right? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit, which lives and abides. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. What is it that's going to last, you ask? The word of the Lord. It's going to be there. Who is the word of the Lord? That's Jesus. Remember the sign he had on him? The word of God. He is the word of God. What's eternal life? What's temporal? Temporal life is that grass, okay? Eternal life is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. It's the word manifested in you. So eat the word and become what you eat. Devour the word and let it go into you and recreate in you that born again man. The spirit, the water, which is the word, and the blood. And it goes on and says, and this is the word of good tidings which was preached unto you. It's the good news, folks. And most folks don't even know what the good news is, which is the gospel. It is the power of God to save. They don't know what that is. But you're looking at it. What does a saved person look like? He looks like Jesus. What does the Son of God look like? He looks like Jesus. What does a born-again person look like? He looks like Jesus. We're all ending up in the same place. It's just different ways of describing the same situation, which is Jesus Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Now, we put that word only in there, but that's the truth. The only hope of glory is Christ in you. How does he get in you? Well, it's because you receive the word which is born out of heaven, that manna that came down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And if you don't receive God's manna, his word, you'll not be renewed. You'll not be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12 and 2 says, every day the most important thing is to study the word of God and obey it. And if you're having trouble obeying it, go to the one who gives you the gift of faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. For in Christ we were made for good works. One work comes from God. The other one is from your own. 1 Peter 2 and 1 says, putting away therefore, since all this is true, all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Verse 2, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. It says unto salvation. He's talking to saved people who are saved by faith. But salvation then has to come by manifestation. What's the manifestation of salvation? It's Christ in you. You received him by faith when you came to him. Now, a lot of folks out there think that they've already manifested Christ and they have all they're ever going to get. Well, that's because they don't understand what faith is. As long as you're saved by faith, you're not saved by manifestation. As long as you're a son of God by faith, you're not a son of God by manifestation. Faith comes before manifestation. Faith is believing you have something because God said you got it, because he gave it to you at the cross. But the manifestation is when it comes to pass. That's when the baby's born. That's when the world gets to see you. It gets to see that Christ in you, okay? Are you longing after the world? You've been distracted. If you are, if you get distracted, you're not going to make it to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You ain't going to make it. So don't get distracted. There ain't nothing out there that's more important than this right here. Now, God knows if you're after the prize. Just look at that Shulamite in Song of Solomon. She's after the prize of the high calling. And all the queens and the concubines and all of Solomon's girls there are all distracted. And they think she's a fanatic. No, she's the one that's going to make it. She'll be the bride, praise God. So don't get distracted. If you're distracted, ask God to put it in your heart to make you run the race, okay? A lot of people are losing the race. They're running against the clock, and every distraction they've got is causing them to lose the race. Because you have a certain amount of time to manifest that hundredfold fruit. And if you're distracted, you won't make it. Now, the Shulamite wouldn't be distracted. They all tried to distract her. If you'll notice, go read it. They all tried to distract her. She'd tell them, I ain't got time for that. I'm running after Jesus. That ye may grow thereby unto salvation. Now, there is a manifestation of salvation. You know what it looks like? Looks like Jesus. Looks like holiness. Looks like deliverance from sin. That's what salvation is. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, begat us again. Well, that's that same word, born. Unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When he was resurrected, we were resurrected, and we accept that by faith. And we only see it by manifestation when we're willing to give up our old carnal life. We died with him, so we need to die. You can't have resurrection life without death. So lose your life. You can't gain your life without losing your life. Remember, there's only enough room in you for one man. And as that old man dies, the new man comes to life. When they went into the promised land, they had to kill that old man to take their house and live in their house and raise their own fruit in their field. That's a picture and a type for us. So he begat us at the cross unto a living hope, it says. A firm expectation is what that word hope means. Verse 4, unto an inheritance incorruptible. Everybody thinks that's just what they're going to get in heaven. Well, you better get it down here. This is where the fruit is born, okay? You have to turn dirt to plant seed, and the fruit comes out of the dirt. And undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, we've been given a gift in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ, you are abiding in heavenly places. You know that, don't you? In Christ, you're going to have every gift that you're going to get. Abiding in him, you bear fruit. That's what he said. If you don't abide in him, you don't bear fruit. And they pluck you up and they throw you in the fire. I know you don't want that. That's what he said over in Matthew 7 and 19. Verse 5 says, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, I thought I'd already had salvation. Well, you got it by faith. But you have to have it by manifestation. Everything that you believe for from God, you receive first by faith before it's manifested. You receive the glory of Jesus by faith. And as you walk that faith out and you're willing to die, then he shines forth from you. That's the shining forth. That's the glory of God. It's like the bride with the lampposed garment. And that's, of course, the righteous acts of the saints. She has a lampros in Revelation 19, which means a glowing. It means a shining. If you'll notice, those that are invited to the marriage feast have a leukos, which just means white. White's good. Lampros is shining. That's the glory of God. She's the bride. She is shining with the glory of God. It's the same with you. It's the righteous acts of the saints. That glory that shines forth out of you is the righteous acts of the saints. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, ye have been put to grief in manifold trials. How many of you know trials are the way to Jesus? You have decisions to make in trials, don't you? The trial is about whom you're going to obey, that old man, or you're going to obey the new man. That's what the trial is. And of course, if you love Jesus, you're going to keep his commandments, right? So what we're really proving is who loves him. The ones who love him are going to manifest. They're going to have that shining forth from them. They're going to have that phaneru, that epiphaneia, because they love God. And they've proven through the trials that they're going to keep his word. And it's worth it to them to lose their life and gain that heavenly life and sit next to the Father. Praise God. 1 Peter 1 and 7. That the proof of your faith being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is proved by fire. So you go through the fire and you come out with the gold, if you love him, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, if you notice, he's already told us that it's the revelation at the last time. The manifestation of your salvation is not the beginning, it's the end, folks. Verse 8, whom not having seen ye love, on whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, it's not your spirit, because your spirit's already saved. In Ecclesiastes 12:7, it says that when you die, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. And if you don't overcome, the spirit goes back to God. And your soul, what is your soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotion. It's who you are. Verse 10, concerning which salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did point unto, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them. You can get, when you study this stuff, you have to have a hunger and a thirst for it. Look over in James chapter 1 and verse 19. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. And just remember that the born again are righteous, because the born again don't sin, do they? The born again don't go out in wrath, right? Verse 21, wherefore putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness. That kind of sounds like what Peter said. If you can't put it away, why would he tell you to do something that you can't do? If you're walking by faith that Jesus is the one who lives in you, he's got all the power. When you look in the mirror and see Jesus, you don't see someone that has no power, do you? Guess what? You're the one that's got the power. The devil's trying to tell you that you don't, but you do have power because you believe in him. You believe that his life is your life, and therefore his power is your power, and you do have power over sin. Anyone who tells you differently is giving you the Antichrist gospel. It says, receive with meekness the implanted word. That word implanted is the same word as inborn or engrafted. And it goes on and says, which is able to save your souls. Well, who's he talking to here? Well, look back to verse 2. Count it all joy, my brethren. He's talking about us saving our souls. Well, and what's the salvation of your soul? It's the end of your faith, not the beginning of your faith. As long as you have faith, you're still waiting for it to manifest. When it's manifested, you don't need faith anymore. You already got it, right? Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is only good until the answer comes, right? And if you're saved by faith, it means you're not saved by manifestation. We're working towards this manifestation. And as we die, we gain. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word. Again, that's what the job of the spiritual man does. He does the word. He is righteous. He loves and not hears only, deluding your own selves. The people that say we don't have to obey, and that's salvation by words, they're deluded. They're deceived. They don't want to change their lifestyle. They don't want to be delivered of that old man. They want to continue on in their sins. And so they've justified this by having a doctrine that's goofy as all get out. Verse 23 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. Yeah, if you're constantly looking at the old man and saying, oh, woe is me, look at that. I'm telling you, you ain't never going to get there, because there's no faith involved. And the righteous shall live, literally it says, from faith. Romans 1:17. You have to believe that you have received, okay? Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Matthew 21:22. That's faith. And if you see your natural face in the mirror, you'll be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. As it says, verse 24, for he beholdeth himself, goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So you need to act when you have the decision to act, okay? Now, when you're in a trial, which is, again, a war between your spiritual man and your carnal man, act in the Spirit. If you walk after the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you walk after the flesh, you have to die. That's what it says. That's what the Word of God said. He forgets what manner of man he was. He forgets it until the next time God brings it up in front of his face. And he doesn't obey it then either. He'll forget it until the next time comes up. Guess what? You're running out of time. So repent right now. Follow the Lord. Pray and ask him for everything. And believe that you've received everything. Because after all, we're trying to find out who is a believer. Because not everybody that calls himself a Christian is a believer. Those who don't believe don't go very far. Verse 25. But he that looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continues, being not a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man shall be blessed in his doing. If any man thinks himself to be religious while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspoiled or unspotted from the world. In other words, he's a doer of the word. And if you see your brother in need and you don't help him, how does the love of God abide in you? And if you don't have the love of God, you're not born again, praise God. So we have this awesome thing that we're waiting to see. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. And we're going to see the reward that God has for you if you lose your life in this world. 2 Corinthians 3:18 and 20. But we all with unveiled face, that is if you're not blinded, if you haven't been deceived into not seeing what the gospel is, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So if you'll notice that you see Jesus in the mirror, how? By faith. Now it takes some imagination. It's an image into the same image, it says. You see Jesus by faith because he gave his life for you, and you don't live anymore, but Christ lives in you. And you confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses also. Your faith without works is dead. So when you believe, you speak it. When you believe that, you've received this gift from God, this free gift, not any of your works, then you're, what are you going to be? You're going to be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And that's star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. So you're going to go through the process and you're going to manifest Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, and even if our gospel is veiled, and folks, it is. It is. You don't find this in the dead churches out there. That's the reason they're dead. They don't have any power, and that's the reason they don't have any power, because they don't believe the gospel. The gospel brings Christ in you. And it's veiled in them that perish, it says. Wait, he's talking about who perishing. That's the people of God perishing. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, shall not dawn upon them. This is the light of the gospel. That's the good news that you don't live anymore because he lives in you. You see him in the mirror and you're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. You know, the devil is in the churches to deceive you about the gospel and what it does and what it is even. They don't even know what it is. They say it's accept Jesus as your personal Savior. No, it ain't. There ain't a verse in the Bible that says that. Not a one does it say that. What he does demand and he commands is you to repent and believe the word. Because they don't believe the word. They don't know what born again is. Get out of that church. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Get your word, read the word, get it straight from the Lord. And don't believe these liars. You need to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, just like it said. They didn't have that problem in the first church back then. Those people were all trained. Who? By who? By Jesus. But they said that there was coming a great falling away. Look, we're still looking at it. And it won't dawn upon him. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Excuse me. Seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness. That light, first of all, is your spirit man, shining forth through that soul, that mind, will, and the emotions that are not yet coming into the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, the manifestation of salvation, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. There it is again. So if you're not blinded by the devil, you can get this revelation, praise God. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, we're not looking at the natural man in the mirror because he's dead, right? We confess him as dead because we were baptized. That old man died right there. So you just remember that. That old man died right there in that water. And if you haven't been baptized, you need to get baptized. It's an act of faith. You're accepting the fact that the old man is dead and the new man now lives. Read it. Romans chapter 6. Then 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We need to remember that. Who's going to do this work? You? No. You can't pick yourselves up by the bootstraps, can you? But God can. We are pressed on every side, yet not straightened. Perplexed, yet not unto despair. Pursued, yet not forsaken. Smitten down, yet not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Praise God. Some of you out there thinking right now, I thought that happened. That didn't happen until I went to heaven. Well, that's what the apostate traditional churches out there teaches. So you're going to miss it if you don't study the word. Where is the manifestation of Christ? In your body on earth. Some of you out there saying right now, well, that's a new body. No. See the next verse in verse 11. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest where? In our mortal flesh. Uh-oh. You see, now that makes you responsible. Here's where the fruit grows. Here's where the dirt meets the road, okay? Verse 13, but having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed and therefore did I speak. If you believe it, are you going to speak it? Because faith works is dead. And we also believe and therefore also we speak, okay? That's what it said. Do you believe that you died and you don't live anymore and that Christ lives in you? Then you need to say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, it says in Psalms 107:2. Say it, believe it, and accept it. Now, what's the reward? Are we all going to look like Jesus in heaven? Are we all going to have the same reward as some people preach? No. Doesn't say that anywhere. That's not the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God." We have it because it's already built. How is it being built? It's being built by our works, our good works, just as the bride's garment. Jude 1:23 says, "Hating the garment spotted by the flesh." You hate the garment that is spotted by the works of the flesh, because your garment is the righteous acts of the saint. A building from God is talking about your body, talking about your tabernacle, which is dissolved. And he calls it a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed again. So now it's a tabernacle. It's that body of yours. It's a building from God, and it's clothing. Remember the bride's clothing? It's the righteous acts of the saint. The lamprobe garment glowing with the glory of God. With our habitation, which is from heaven. Now, some people out there are saying we got to die to get that. Well, wait a minute. Read on. 3. If so be that being clothed, you shall not be found naked. Okay, so when you meet the Lord, you don't want to be naked, do you? You want to have that clothing, that spotless and blemishless clothing on. For indeed, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. In other words, losing this body, we're not wanting to lose this body until what? But that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be available to us. Let me back up here. But that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Where do we get that life? As the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. It tells us that in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. The life is right here. Where is this new garment like the bride had? This new garment. Well, it's happening even as we speak right now, as we walk this earth. We're creating that garment because it's the righteous acts of the saint. And you want to be clothed upon that which is immortal. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. So notice the manifestation of Jesus that we just read about in chapter 4 and verse 11 may be in our mortal flesh, it says. Verse 5, "Now he that wrought us for this very thing is God, who gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Being therefore always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight." Listen, you got to remember that, or you'll never make any progress towards the Lord in any manner. You see the end from the beginning, right? You look in the mirror and you see Jesus. That's some more. That is your goal right now. That's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 8, "We are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." Are you willing? Man, there's a bunch of them out there that's not. They just talk about it. They don't want to die right now, today. And if you don't want to die today, then you really don't have that desire that Paul had, or that the Shulamite had, or that the sons of God have, to be in the presence of God. We need to lose our life to gain our life. But you're talking and thinking physically. Lose your life to gain your life. Lose your suke life, your soulish life, and gain your zoe life, your heavenly life. And where does this happen? On earth. Verse 9. "Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well pleasing unto him. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, the judgment seat here is translated and actually means foot print tribunal. That's what the word actually means. In other words, we're being tested to see if we walk in the steps of Jesus. If any man says that he abides in him, let him walk as he walked. Therefore, he must walk in the steps of Jesus, it says in 1 John 2:6. What's a Christian look like? Well, that's a dumb question. The answer is Christ, right? The word is Christian. So why does no one look like Christ? Because they're imaging themselves after men. It's Christ we want to look like. We want to love like Christ. We want to have the fruit like Christ had. We want to treat other people like Christ did. And we want to go to our cross just like Christ did, and on and on and on. Do you walk in his steps? Because you're being tested. We must all be made manifest before the footprint tribunal of Christ. That each one may receive, it says. Now, let's go to the numeric pattern right quick, which is the way, as you probably already know, God gave us to be able to get back to the original text, okay? That New Testament, numeric English New Testament, is the most accurate New Testament in the world. And it says this, it says, the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive through the body to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And if you'll notice, the bride did what was good, and she had a lamp roast garment, no spot by the flesh garment, nothing spotted by the works of the flesh. The Bible says in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the garment he's talking about. That's the building from God. That's the tabernacle from God. And he's telling you that your body is going to be how you're rewarded, okay? So read again, that each one may receive the things done in the body, through the body, okay, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So everybody ain't going to have the same body. Everybody's not going to have the same opportunity, the same power, the same glory, 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's the three bodies in 1 Corinthians 15 that Paul said the resurrected saints have. Three different bodies. You have the star glory body, you have the moon glory body, and then you have the sun glory body. The most righteous are going to sit with the Lord in his throne. They are the overcomers. What have they overcome? They've overcome sin. And they're going to receive through the body according to what he hath done, right? The reward is going to be according to one of those three bodies, praise God. How many of you want to have a sun glory body for eternity? What's the privileges of a sun glory body? Well, it's way above anything that the star glory body is. They are different glories. And you have to suffer for a little while down here. And what you get, you're going to have for eternity, y'all. But there's a whole bunch of them out there that fail. Read what God said in Matthew 13:16-19. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which ye see, and saw them not, and to hear the things which ye hear, and heard them not. Hear then ye the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the evil one and snatches away that which hath been sown in his heart. And of course, there's a little time when people can receive more than what they have now. And there's a time when a foundation has been laid for them to receive deeper understanding. And of course, if you're born of God, you can see the kingdom. And whatsoever a part of you is born of God can see the kingdom, and the part of you that's not, he can't see the kingdom. And born again comes with his privileges. You have discernment and wisdom. And by the way, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit just like the New Testament command. And people who don't want any of those gifts, that say, no, I don't want that one, then what you've done, you've rejected the Word of God that came to give you these awesome gifts. You need these gifts. The people around you need these gifts. Read the Bible, folks. Jesus had these sights. He had these gifts. And you can't have Jesus without having these gifts. You want the Jesus of the Bible? Look what he did. What was his ministry? It was supernatural. Christianity, folks, is supernatural. If your Christianity is dead, guess what? You've got a dead Jesus. And that's another Jesus, because our Jesus is powerful. He's holy and he's righteous. And he is delivered from sin, and he has that power over sin. That's the Jesus that we ought to be looking at in the mirror. And he ain't sick either. That's the Jesus we see in the mirror. This is he that was sown by the wayside. And you might have seen it one time, one of those by the wayside. You heard it and it didn't do you a bit of good. It just went right on out and you forgot it. Verse 20, and he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that hears the word and straightway with joy receives it. We see a lot of folks out there that receive the word with joy. But are they there tomorrow? The rocky places. You know how seeds can sprout up on the rocky places? And how long it lasts? It don't last long, does it? Verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself. So you're not rooted to the word. You don't love the word. You've got to put that word in there until it overcomes your old programming. But endureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, well, tribulation has to come because of the word. When the word comes in, you're tested, you're tried. You're going to listen to either your carnal man or your spiritual man. And if you listen to your carnal man, you're going to die a little bit every time you do it. If you listen to your spiritual man, you're going to grow a little bit every time you do it. Straight away he stumbleth, it says. There's a lot of them out there in the world that were sown on the rocky places. They sprouted up with joy, but they didn't give it any root. They didn't spend any time with Jesus. They didn't ask him for help. They just muddled through and failed because they tried to do it themselves. Hey, folks, the world is full of these guys. Wait until they get to hear this real gospel from the man-child ministry. A lot of them are going to come back. Some of them won't. Verse 22, and he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. It always does, folks. If you love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. 1 John chapter 2 and 15. If you love the Father, you're going after the Word. You're going after the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, as it says in Philippians 3 and 14. And he becomes unfruitful. The seed is sown in your heart. Your heart is the womb of the seed. That's the sperma. Your heart is where the seed is grown. And you break up your fallow ground by repenting. And that's how you give good ground to the seed. Otherwise, that word's going to come unfruitful. It's wasted. And you wasted it. Verse 23, and he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understands it, who verily bears fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Praise God. That's one out of four at least. At least three of those received the word into their heart with belief and lost out on it. That just goes along to tell you how many people are out there in the world that at one time had an experience with God, and then they lost it. It tells you real clear there. It may be because they only heard lies and something other than the Word. And the Word is the only thing that can bear fruit. When they hear the real gospel, they'll pick it up again. Some won't. Some ain't never going to come back. So let's look at Psalms 82 and 1. God standeth in the congregation of God. It's His congregation, folks. It's His people. He judges among the gods. Who are these gods? Well, if God has a son, it's a god. Is your flesh God? No. Is your natural man God? No. Can you make God? No. It's the Word of God that makes God. It's the seed of God. It's the sperma of God. It can't bring nothing forth but God, I'm telling you. It's right here in the Word of God. And Jesus said the same thing, too. He said, He judges among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and respect the persons of the wicked? That's talking about you, sons of God out there. You people of God out there. He goes on and says, judge the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. We got the same authority that Jesus had, John 20 and 21. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And He sent them forth with power, praise God. Matthew 18 and 18. What things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then John 14 and 12. He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. He sent us forth with power to help his people, praise God. Psalms 82 and 4b. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk to and fro in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. And then verse 6, I said ye are gods. And Jesus quoted from that. And all of you sons of the Most High. And if you're a son of God, then you're God, right? Not you, the natural man. That's the enemy of God. It's Christ in you. And if you don't have Christ in you, then you don't have God in you. And if you do have Christ in you, then you have God in you. He's growing in you like a baby. He's growing and growing and growing. So you need to keep feeding Him, okay? Keep feeding that baby. In the womb, Jesus said, ye are gods. John 10 and 35. If He called them gods unto whom the Word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken, say ye of Him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. He says, notice this, He said, ye are gods. All of you are sons of the Most High. Praise God. Well, folks, I'm out of time. I wish I had finished it. Maybe we can pick up next week a little bit and finish it out. God bless you. We'll see you next time, God willing.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy. stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, my Lord Jesus.